This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio, where we discuss everything happening with the Church of Western New York. That's everything, Ryan.
Every single thing.
I don't know why I even started that way. But anyway, Christ Together Radio is a show that is based on seeing men and women and children engaged in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, every man, woman, and child, within our sphere of influence, we call it. And that's the show. If you've listened to us before, you kind of get the picture that we're touching on many different aspects. I think in the Church of Western New York, we call them buckets of focus that are helping to have people engage on mission.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things for our listening audience, I think it's important to know is God's doing something special in this region. I mean, he's at work everywhere, but the reality is God has been bringing his church together in our region in a very unique and a very special way. And so a lot of those things that we'll focus on are, you know, initiatives toward partnership, initiatives toward planting or unity. But then there's initiatives toward mobilization.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we've been focused on that last week, just kind of people getting counseling, people getting help, and how that helps in the long run for mobilizing people. And we're going to revisit that today.
Right. I'm Brett Larson. You just heard from Ryan Cozy. We're co-hosts here every week on Christ Together Radio. Heard at 11 a.m. and now at 4 p.m. On Sundays.
Yes.
So we're two different airings there. And I think at this time, at this airing, 4 p.m. Sunday will be a time when you can hear us. So if you're missing part of the show, catch us again at 4. Or also, if you want to catch all of our past episodes or programs, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs Christ Together Radio, and there's an archive there of everything we've done. And hopefully you won't critique us too much and make fun of us and everything else. But you can also send us an email if you choose to make fun of us.
Yes.
Pastor David Drake laughing at me, joining us in studio today. And joining us again for the second week, we appreciate you coming back to talk further about biblical counseling. So I'm shooting it to you real quick. You're supposed to say, hey.
Hey, it's good to be here.
No, I'm just kidding.
Fantastic. Dynamite drop in, Monty. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Pastor David, welcome back to the portable studio, to the, I guess.
I think we should call it the phone booth.
We should call it the phone booth. Welcome to the phone booth.
And we're still staring at Bernie Kosar.
Yes.
He hasn't gotten any better looking either.
I go down with the ship, baby.
Yeah. Bernie Kosar, if you're just tuning in, last week we joked that Ryan is from Cleveland, or spent part of his life in Cleveland, and is a big Cleveland Browns fan. And unfortunately, the poor guy. And there's Cleveland Brown things everywhere. There is a single Bills helmet.
Yeah.
You give a shout out just to keep it real for Buffalo.
Absolutely.
But there's Bernie Kosar was, if you're unfamiliar, was a great quarterback that played. Was he a lefty?
No, he was a righty.
He threw a
weird
ball.
But he threw three quarters.
That's what it was. Yeah, I knew something was weird with his release. I couldn't remember.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, he threw a nice ball. I do remember that. So anyway, I don't know how we got on Bernie Kosar, of all people. Well, it could be the fact that he's everywhere we look.
Like, I
can't look at anybody in the room without looking through Bernie. It's a little excessive. I'm a little concerned about you.
Idle much?
Yeah.
Ryan
thinks we're doing Christ Together today. Actually, it's an intervention for him. We brought Pastor David here to talk to you. So, anyway, stay tuned. There's this and other nonsense ahead of us here, but we actually are talking about a very serious issue called biblical counseling. Pastor David Drake is a biblical counselor on staff here at the chapel and kind of leads the biblical counseling ministry here and has done so much for helping people and helping to raise up biblical counselors in Western New York. So we're going to get to more of that in just a minute. This is Christ Together Radio. Stay tuned.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at the chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. Alongside my co-host Ryan Cozy, as we share with you today about biblical counseling. Pastor David Drake joining us in studio. If you want to know more about Christ Together, by the way, go to WDCXradio.com, click on programs, and scroll down to Christ Together. You can find all of our past episodes and programs there, especially last week's, which will help lead you into what we're going to talk about this week. Don't tune us out now. Listen, and then listen back to last week's. It kind of puts the two together. Some really good information there. And Pastor David, it's great to have you here today. And I know we wanted to talk about a little bit of different things from our previous episode. And so one of the things is, and Ryan alluded to this in our break as we were discussing, but I hadn't even realized, I knew there was some, but I didn't realize the amount, Ryan, of counselors that Pastor David has been able to help train.
Yeah, and so this is one of the things that, you know, personally I get super excited about. So my mind is, you know, God has created me toward thinking about strategy, like, you know, how are we actually going to minister to people? And, you know, I kind of bend more toward evangelization type of thinking and church planting. But the reality is, you know, Pastor David, he's done a phenomenal job of kind of embracing the reality that he himself cannot counsel all the full counseling load of folks that come to our church.
Yeah.
And so very early on in his tenure here, he was a big part just saying, I can't do this by myself, and so therefore I need to train others. And so, David, tell us a little bit more about the number of folks that are on the counseling team here. What does that look like? How did you get there? And the number of folks that they're able to counsel.
Yeah, I share with your excitement and passion, Ryan, because, and in fact, last week I mentioned the verse in Colossians that says, we proclaim him. And I see in that verse, when it says we, that it's the responsibility of everyone. Everyone in the body of Christ. And so I have felt for a long time that God calls all of us in the body of Christ to do some counseling. Mm-hmm. He may not call us to do all kinds of counseling, but he calls all of us to do some. And then just the realization, and we had talked about this last week, of the increase of need and the willingness of people to come and share what's going on in their life and to seek help. And just realizing that there is no way in the world that any church could even envision staffing people to do the great needs of counseling. And so we began to develop an idea of what if we were to train people to equip them to be able to do these various types of counseling. And so we began a journey in which we first of all established that there were four courses that we felt would be fundamental and foundational to their ability to counsel. And so we established a course on introduction to biblical counseling. What does that look like? Kind of the theology of counseling. And then issues in counseling and marriage and family counseling and crisis counseling. And so we began to walk some people through that, and we've had a tremendous response to the point where we have currently over 60 people that are doing counseling.
Wow.
And, you know, just the reports that I get from them have been just absolutely a great testimony to what God is doing. And not to throw numbers at you, but just to get you to kind of understand that by developing that, we had opportunity in the past year to touch the lives of over 500 people through the process of counseling, which there's no way in the world that, you know, pastoral staff could ever touch that many lives. And one of the exciting things that we have seen in a little over the past year, we've been doing this for about 5 years now, and in the past year, we have seen people from other churches in the community that have begun to take counseling courses and just seeing that God is beginning to use and develop people to do those kinds of counseling.
Yeah, and that's been really encouraging. We have something here on our campus, which is actually an educational partnership with Houghton College, where we actually offer a local diploma, but also an official, fully accredited Associate of Arts and Sciences degree in Biblical Studies, and counseling is a part of that. And so it is fun, you know, as someone who teaches within Renovation Institute, I teach our missional behavior course, but it's a blast to go, hey, what church are you at? And for not every person in the room to be from the chapel. To be from Kenmore Alliance, to be from any number of churches in the region, Randall Baptist, Restoration Church. I mean, these are just a handful of partners that we have. But, it's just a real privilege and an honor to say, okay, God, we really do. We want to see ministers equipped, and we want to see everyday people equipped to meet the counseling need of the body of Christ. And so that's just not lip service. This is like, okay, so how do we do this? And we got a long way to go. But I feel like we're making meaningful progress in this area.
Well, I think it's important. It is a biblical concept of sharing the load, right? Mm-hmm. Moses was overwhelmed, and was told to share the load,
right?
And I think it's such a huge issue in our culture that not only is it sharing the load, I think it's providing opportunity for more and more healing.
Yeah,
and that's a big deal, and it leads us into our next area of discussion, and that is, with the opportunity comes the opportunity for others to come forward when they need help. And Pastor David, in just a couple more minutes here, I think we have left in this segment. Actually, we have some time. Can you talk to us about the nature of the church/society today, and the willingness that might be different from before for people to actually come forward and get counseling help?
Again, we touched on some of it, last week's segment in terms of just people understanding community better and coming together and actually, seeking counsel. But one of the things that we can offer in a biblical approach is we can offer a redemptive model. And, we talked last week about shame. There's a lot of guilt in our society, and a lot of isolation as well. And I remember hearing a psychologist a long time ago saying, even when you talk about people that are institutionalized, he once said that 75% of them could leave that if they just knew that they were forgiven. Hmm. And a Christ-centered model offers exactly that. Mm-hmm. One counseling model that I love turning to is the way that Jesus approached the woman at the well, mm-hmm. in John chapter 4. He's having this conversation with her, and I oftentimes wondered, because it almost seems like out of the blue, Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband." And I oftentimes wonder, I understand he's God. He knows all things. Why was he doing that? And I realized that the reason he did that is because he was getting to the heart issue. And for her, she responds by saying, "Well, I don't have a husband." And he says, "You're absolutely right. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband." And if you just examine that passage, all of a sudden, her conversation with him turns. It is now focused on spiritual things. And Christ offers to her a redemptive model. And it always takes me back to a verse in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, God, the fountain of living water, and have made for themselves their own cisterns. In other words, the picture there is they're the broken cisterns. It's like having a vase, and at the bottom it's cracked. And they're trying to pour the meaning of life and find the meaning of life in that vase that's cracked at the bottom. And what counseling really does is it's an entry point when people realize that that vase is cracked, that the thing that they've, whether it's relationships, whether it's material things, whatever they, sports, whatever they've sought to put their life into, it's cracked at the bottom. And that is the entry point and the opportunity for us to come in and say, hey, we have a redemptive model. Mm-hmm. And so with all these issues that are coming up in life, that people are facing, we have that opportunity to present a redemptive model that says, you know, you can go away in peace. You can put that behind you.
You know, in our very progressivistic society where we believe things are constantly getting better, we have biblical counselors and counselors in general out there that are saying, no, there's some real issues at stake in our world. And we talked about some of those, you know, last episode, and we don't need to rehash all those. But you just touched on some of it too, is that there's this, the mask of shame, and we keep harping on that. But I think that that's such a huge issue in the church. And I hear, Pastor David, a thread in what you're saying is mask of shame community, mask of shame community, and how the two seem to, you know, the one tends to fix the other in some way, shape, or form, living in community, living together. And, you know, small groups are nothing new. I mean, back to Willow Creek in the 90s, I think they started becoming modern day more popular. And we've always had some sort of it, whether it was Sunday school or whatever. But as far as our modern understanding of it, but that is really important, isn't it? The idea that you're doing life with people around you who know you, know your habits, and that you can share and trust with. And doing life alone is really dangerous, isn't it?
It is. That leads to isolation, which is, again, one of the biggest issues facing people today. You know, we've been talking about what are some of the differences, what are some of the new things that you're seeing in counseling. And I would say one of the big ones is isolation, living in isolation. We don't know how to relate and connect with people. You know, you look at the average Facebook page and people have 740 friends. No, you don't. Who do you have to do life with? And so that isolation, again, that's a breeding ground for shame. It's a breeding ground for guilt to continue. And when we bring it to the light, and Scripture is, you know, just filled with examples and statements of bringing things to light, and what happens when we bring it to the light, and you know, we establish that kind of accountability, and you know, doing the work of life together. So yeah, the whole thing of community, combating shame is you know, I don't think any of the three of us here could overemphasize that and its significance. You know, that community, the community of believers is, God calls us to come alongside.
And there's no replacing that face-to-face community and that's why, you know, even in your circle groups here at the chapel, and whether you have life links, life groups, whatever you call them, the importance of getting involved in those in your local church, it just goes beyond Sunday to the next level, to where you actually begin to live life together. When people are struggling, there's people that can come alongside you and pick each other up, and there's trust built there. And so we can continue this discussion in just a minute. We got to take a quick break here on Christ Together Radio. Pastor David Drake joining us in studio today as we discuss biblical counseling, the growth of it, the need for it, and some of the issues that are really facing the church today. As always, our co-host Pastor Ryan Cozy and myself here today, guiding you along in the journey. And we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Don't go away, because Pastor David will be hurt by that.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're talking about biblical counseling today. I'm Brett Larson, alongside co-host Ryan Cozy, and we've invited Pastor David Drake from the chapel in studio today to talk about biblical counseling. We're here in what we've deemed the phone booth. It's the Cozman's office.
You got it, baby.
And it's awesome.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's all things Kosar. Yes. And Bernie Kosar, that is, from the Cleveland Browns.
Don't forget the Cavs, 2016 NBA champions.
That's right, and a Michigan helmet, random Michigan helmet in the office.
So Michigan fan.
Trying to paint the picture, the theater of the mind, per se, of where we are right now. And it's great to just get out. We're on the road, taking Christ together on the road.
We're taking it on the road, baby.
Got the road team, baby. And just coming in here to the chapel, and their great tech crew has set some stuff up here for us to record here. I enjoy it. I get to do something different. Yeah. It's always fun, right? You guys are just at work like every other day.
Yeah, there's microphones in my office. It's weird.
Exactly, yeah.
I think there's hidden mics in here.
Yeah, there's always mics in here, buddy. I got their eye on you. And we're talking biblical counseling today, and before we went to the break, just discussing the value of community and how important it is in the church today for us to do life together. Actually, in my opinion, more important than ever. Because we're so busy and we're so tied to the internet, we're so tied to social things, the value of doing life face-to-face with other people is so important. And we've talked about the danger of isolationism, and especially with leaders, mm-hmm. Pastor David. You've seen it a lot. You talked about it before. But also, just there is no replacement for face-to-face. And I know I sound like an old fuddy-duddy saying that, but it's so true. It's that... And in fact, it's a tool of the enemy in many ways to lull us to sleep, to think that engaging online or in Facebook or social media or Instagram or whatever is a social interaction. It's not how we're made, is it? And it's very dangerous.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And among other things, it's one-dimensional, where communication, anybody who does counseling – will tell you the value in body language, mm-hmm. just being able to observe body language and, mm-hmm. and how much that communicates. So it is significant to have level of communication. I'm also reminded, and Jesus even modeled it, I heard somebody explain in terms of relationships, how we have people at an acquaintance level, mm-hmm. And then casual, and then close, and then intimate friends. Well, any one of the social medias, you might have communication on an acquaintance level, possibly even a casual, but you will never develop close or intimate relationships, and Jesus modeled that for us in that he had 12 close disciples or friends, and among them he had three that he was particularly close to, Peter, James, and John, and of those, Scripture seems to indicate that his most intimate, genuine friend was John. So he modeled that for us, and the need... And, whenever I'm out with people, I'm always observing what's going on. And I sit in a restaurant with my wife sometimes, and it just saddens me when I see a couple. They're at dinner together, but they're texting. Mm-hmm. And again, the most you're ever going to get is a casual, but never develop close or intimate friendships. And one of the things that I was thinking about just recently is, you know, God created Adam, and he created him to have relationship with him. And Adam enjoyed that relationship. And even before sin entered into the world, God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Mm-hmm. That was before the fall. Mm-hmm. God was saying, I want man to enjoy fellowship, relationship with me, but I also intend for him to enjoy relationship with other people. And so that, of course, is when he created Eve to come alongside. So he desires for us to be in relationship. The only way we're going to do that is face-to-face, be able to develop close friendships and intimate friendships. And so it's vitally important in terms of, again, we've talked about isolation. And another big thing that I observe in terms of counseling, you were mentioning leaders. Mm-hmm. And it's especially prevalent for leaders, the battle of loneliness. Mm-hmm. You know, people have said it's lonely on the top or you know, whatever type of thing. But that loneliness that they experience because of the isolation or whatever, and again, that goes against what God intended.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I mean, we're sitting in my office today, and I don't know if you could tell. I do like the Browns, but I like books.
Yeah.
You know, part of my training prior to being a pastor is I'm a social scientist. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I study numbers, but I also studied social psychology for a number of years. And there's a book that actually our pastor had done kind of talked with us about. It's called Reclaiming Conversation. And it's by Dr. Sherry Turkle. She's a professor of social sciences at MIT, so she's not an idiot. But what she, you know, what's really fascinating about this book is, and she also wrote another book called Alone Together. But the subtitle of Reclaiming Conversation is The Power of Talk in a Digital Age. And she, years ago, when smartphone technology began to advance, probably about 10 years ago, it just got. In her mind, it was very clear, like, we were going to be hyper-connected, mm-hmm. and we were going to be hyper-communicative. And kind of what she's found in this book is, well, we are hyper-connected, but we have lost touch with the art of conversation.
Yeah.
And it speaks to another seminal book that was written years ago by Robert Putnam, a sociologist, Bowling Alone. Mm-hmm. And that was just the idea of, you know, that the world, it's getting to a point where you literally can go to work, you can come home, and you can shut yourself off from the world, and you can have full access to the world at the same time.
Yeah.
So you don't have to interact with neighbors.
Yeah.
It's almost like even Christians have lost the ability to have a face-to-face conversation. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to exegete our culture, mm-hmm. and if we're going to understand what it's going to take for us to reach every man, woman, and child, we've got to have these sorts of honest conversations about how difficult it is to engage yeah. people in conversation. And Christians are not great at this either.
We're not. And we can blame it and say that, well, culture's not great at it either. But we have the responsibility to engage culture, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And it's got to be intentional. And in the role of biblical counseling, exactly what you said, Ryan, like if we don't figure out how to do this well, not only in engaging culture, but in engaging each other in the church, we open ourselves up to that isolationism. We go to work, come home, we don't have to talk to anybody. We can live in secret, and living in secret, living in the communicative dark,
yeah.
is so dangerous. And I'm sure with the many, many people you've counseled, Pastor David, you've seen a thread, and maybe you haven't. Maybe I'm wrong, but is there a thread of isolationism and aloneness, and you know, people living in sin that they are trapped in?
Yeah, it's you know, again, it's huge. It's a huge factor in terms of why. We continue to struggle. Mm-hmm. Scripture teaches just just the opposite of that. It, like, even going back to Proverbs, it says, you know, it talks about the wounds of a friend. In other words, having someone that speaks into my life, and it might be difficult for me to hear, but it is, you know, it is vitally important. You know, Paul talks about the time when he was with Peter, and he came to Peter and said, hey, what you're doing is not right. You need to make some changes here. And, you know, Peter in one of his epistles will make reference to how valuable Paul was in his life. So, you know, we've got to, you know, especially as we talk about in Christ Together, you know, bridging cultural barriers and all of those things. You know, we talked last week about, you know, what are some of the changes that we're seeing in counseling. I mean, one of the things that I've had to take a look at and continue to take a look at is what is scriptural and what is cultural. Because, you know, 40 years ago, there was almost like a cookie cutter mentality toward this is what the typical family looks like, and this is what it's supposed to look like. And we've had to take a step back in counseling and say, hey, if we're going to break down some of these barriers, we need to look at what's going on that's cultural and what is genuinely biblical. Because obviously in the end, scripture applies to all people. But how we get there and how we help lead people there means having to get to understand their culture, because some of that, you know, we're trying to reach a refugee community in our city. Well, a lot of them are isolated, and we have to be able to break those barriers down in order to be able to reach effectively and enable people to break the cycles of isolation.
It's all a little bit overwhelming, just sitting here listening, and I'm kind of wrapping my mind around all that we've discussed, and just the I think the for me it's the thread of what I'll call, for lack of a better term, unrighteousness in our society, and the creep into the church, and the fact that there are so many issues spiraling through all of these, this thread of unrighteousness that's creeping into the church, that makes biblical counseling almost an animal that's in probably many ways feels like it's too big to tackle all at once. The standard issues come to you. There's family issues, there's sin issues, there's all different issues that come to you. But there are also these little core issues underlying, like the truth of Scripture, the reliability of Scripture, the inerrancy of Scripture. So as you rest on the Bible, right, for your biblical counseling, people coming into our culture who don't necessarily, even in the church, who don't rest on the Bible, it makes it, you have harder work to do. You have more work to do at the beginning, I imagine.
Yeah, you're very right. What used to be step one is now step three or step four.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. What I mean by that is, you know, Brett, you were alluding to that in terms of recognition of the authority of Scripture and the relevance of Scripture. There was a time when you could rely on most people that were seeking counsel, especially through the church, would have an understanding of those things. But now you're having to explore what is their understanding of Scripture. If you're going to challenge somebody scripturally to, you know, apply this to their life, do they have an understanding of Scripture? And so again, this is why, as we've talked, biblical counseling becomes more and more tethered in the concept of discipleship, because we've got to make sure that they have an understanding of Scripture and how that applies. So that's what I mean by step three or step four.
Yeah, it can be. I could totally see that. I mean, it's fairly obvious as those of us who are engaged in what we do in our daily lives with the church and with biblical kind of things. We just see I like that step one. What used to be step one is now step three or four. I think that's true in anything, even in our presentation of the gospel and our missional living.
Yeah,
which is why we talk now about missional living as kind of a key to evangelism. Yeah. It used to be you could have an event and you could just proclaim, and people, the Bible says this, and people go, oh. And now you have to create a relationship with people. You have to interact, and you have to do some front work in order to get the audience to hear. And obviously God's involved in the whole thing, and there's, the Holy Spirit speaks to people. But thank you, because I think that's key to what even people listening today, and if you're out there, what do we pray for in our church? And it might feel overwhelming. Our society is just kind of anti-biblical and anti-Christian. Well, we can begin to pray that God's word would begin to ring true in people's hearts, and that people that are doing counseling and doing ministry will begin there. Because if not for there, then what are we doing this for? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan and Pastor Dave, I want to talk a little bit about what is happening with biblical counseling in our area. Some of the wins that are going on, some of the things that we're seeing happen that I think will play major roles in the process of Christ Together and what the Church of Western New York is doing. So you're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we entertain. Are we entertaining you today, Pastor David?
Are you not entertained?
As we entertain Pastor David today, in the phone booth studio.
Yes.
A.K.A. Ryan's office.
Yes.
At the chapel. And kind of a fun venue, kind of something different. Hopefully we don't sound too crazy. We have no idea what this is going to sound like. We're recording this blindly, hoping that it comes out well.
We do. We hope
you
so.
We have experts on staff, so it'll sound great. Talking about biblical counseling today, and we want to wrap up in our last 15, 16 minutes here, discussing what God is doing in Western New York. Each show we discuss different areas of watching God work, as we often reference Dr. Henry Blackaby saying, get underneath what God is doing and get involved and find out where He's moving and join in. And so each show we talk about where God is moving and where the Church of Western New York is joining in. And this is one area, Ryan, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'll let Pastor David talk about this a little bit more, but so over these last 2 weeks, we've talked about, okay, hey, it's awesome, one, that God has brought Pastor David back to our area. He had gone away for a while, and God had brought him back, and so he is he's doing a great job of providing biblical counseling at our church. But he's also been a part of seeing the growth and the development and the training of almost 60 other lay counselors that are providing services at our local church. And above and beyond that, he's helping with other ministers of the gospel in the region through Renovation Institute and lay counseling classes there. But a new one that's happening is the desire. It's kind of neat how the Lord brought this to us, but that there was a desire of a particular individual who went through some of the classes to say, well, my passion is the city of Buffalo. What would it look like if God began to train counselors to provide services and help of biblical counseling in the city of Buffalo? And so, David, if you'd mind sharing just a little bit about that, I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I'm glad that Brett mentioned about Henry Blackaby, because Many of you that are listening have done experiencing God, and I did it several times years ago. And that one phrase is what stood in my mind above anything else. Look to see where God is moving and join Him. So as we've been developing this lay counseling ministry, I've watched as God has begun to send people of different cultures and different ethnic backgrounds to start taking some of those classes. And, you know, Ryan was mentioning one gentleman in particular who did say, hey, what would this look like if we were to take this and bring it into the city? And that's what you look for. When God starts to put on the hearts of His people to see things happen. And so we've begun to walk a journey with Him in terms of what would that look like and how do we put that together. And, you know, we've seen several churches, respond. Village Church, Pastor Jeremy, and had conversation recently with Steve
Schenck.
Yeah. And he was excited to hear about this, and we've had conversations with Jericho Road and other places. Just that expression of what would it look like to bring that to this inner city of Buffalo, yeah. And so we're just excited about what we're seeing God do and what we anticipate He's going to continue to do.
And a really cool manifestation of that, and this hits right at the heart of what we're talking about at Christ Together Radio. So, we were very fortunate to have an individual feel led by God to purchase a property in the city of Buffalo. That property is on 60 Hurdle Avenue. So if you're familiar mm-hmm. with Black Rock, Riverside, West Hurdle area, mm-hmm. it's in that West Hurdle area close to Ontario Street. Mm-hmm. That facility has a church sanctuary, a school building, and a house. It's an old Catholic campus. Mm-hmm. And through this individual's acquiring of the property, what's crazy is there's now going to be three churches that are housed there, River Rock Church, as well as two refugee churches that'll be there. I think that they're both Nepali, but I'm not 100% sure about that. And but within that, there's a desire to have that house be a source of like refuge mm-hmm. for pastors who are burnt out, pastors who just need to get refreshed, maybe pastors who have been disqualified from ministry that need to kind of walk a road of redemption before being reinstalled. And mm-hmm. The thing that's really cool about that is within that there is a place now for this idea of lay counseling. That the courses that God is using here, that He may actually use those courses to train and help refugees so that as they get the biblical training that they need, they can reach the people that God has wired them to reach, their fellow refugees in the city of Buffalo. Buffalo is a refugee resettlement city. And the beauty of this whole idea is that this could not be accomplished by any one of the entities that are involved in this project. It couldn't have been accomplished just by the churches. It couldn't have been accomplished just by the individual that acquired the property. Hmm. It couldn't have been accomplished just by 716 Ministries, who's doing the, helping mm-hmm. to do rehab and property management, property maintenance. It requires the full effort of all of God's people to see this happen. And it's that synergistic definition that together we realize that we can accomplish more than any one individual can. And I think in those moments, He looks down from heaven. He says, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That if saturation in a region of 1.2 million people is going to happen in Western New York, a forgotten city, a punchline of a joke, and I'm from Cleveland, so I mean that yeah. with all sensitivity. Yeah. Like my city has been, my city of birth has been a punchline, mm-hmm. and my city of residence is a punchline, but not anymore. I believe that God is doing amazing things in this region, mm-hmm. but it's taking the full effort of all of God's people to realize that collectively,
right.
we bring God glory when we do this together. Mm-hmm. And lay counseling is a part of that. I mean, I can only imagine what it could look like a couple years from now And I hope that people that are listening at home or listening in their car, that you would understand that a couple years from now, that just like God raised up lay counselors here at our campus, that what if he raised up another 50 to 60 refugees that are providing biblical lay counseling for the people that God has put them in and among, fellow refugees in a refugee resettlement city? What a beautiful picture of the gospel that is. And that's a unique part of the story that God is telling right here in Western New York.
Ryan, you point out something very interesting. You talked about God's glory in there. And I mean, ultimately, God is a God who seeks glory.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. And that's so interesting that it's together. When we work together, God is glorified. And Christ together is not an accident. Like the together in the middle there is not an accident. Could God do this alone through a big mega church and whatever?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he could. But how much more is God glorified? So if there's ever, when we work together, so if there's ever a reason to wonder why Christ together, why work together as missional churches for the sake of the gospel, it's to glorify God.
Yeah, I mean, you know, chief end of man is the glory of God and to enjoy him forever. Yes. I believe that's the Westminster Confession. Mm-hmm. I know Piper talks about in Let the Nations Be Glad. He says, you know, missions exists because full worship does not, right? I think that's how the book starts. And, you know, the reality is, I mean, when we really begin to understand that it is not an accident that God in this day and in this moment, he put us here. And that the central part of our existence is the glorification of God and to enjoy him forever. That if the church would awaken to that, I believe we are a sleeping giant that needs to be reminded of this very truth. But that as that happens, and I think there are evidences of it all throughout this region that are beginning to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of rising up in my chair here. And I apologize about that. But, you know, this is real, gang. Like, I am giving my life to this.
Yeah.
And I know that you're a part, you're giving your life to this. And David, you've given your life to this and you continue to give your life to this. But for any person who's out there going, but this is for major church leaders, or this is for, you know, the chapel, or this, no, this is for all of God's people. And this idea alone that this would happen, this is an everyday guy who he works a regular job in industry. He's very successful in sales, but he's a very unassuming gentleman. But God put this on his heart, and what it was, that was the spark that produced a conversation of taking counseling from this location, matching it with a gentleman's passion for the city, and then providing us a location with a family who just was desperate to see this property be revitalized for the glory of God on the West Turtle Strip of the city of Buffalo. And you just go, whoa, God did, like, this is a beautiful symphony that he is orchestrating. And when you just take note of that, it's awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
And it just it causes you to keep your head down in humility and go, man, to the glory of God, may this happen.
Yeah. And it stems into other things, or it flows into other things as a result of it. And as we see him work, it's not just about now the house and the ministry that happens there. It's about what else that sparks as others see that.
Yeah, and I just give you one other example. We took up, our church took up an offering, and we were able to give a pretty large sum of financial help. And I sat across the table from two pastors, and one of those pastors, for 7 years, lived in the jungle in Asia in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to give this gift on behalf of our church. And like twice in this meeting, both of the pastors, one of them was Pastor Bob Tyson. I'll tell you the other pastor by the name of Han Mo.
Mm-hmm.
And his story is amazing. You know, the guy lived in a tree for 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, you're going, I don't understand hardship. And, you know, they wanted us to know we will not waste one penny of God's money on this. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, you lived in a tree in a jungle. I'm good. I'm 100% sure you're not going to waste a penny of God's money on this. But just that collaborative spirit, you know, it was hard not to get emotional having a meal and giving a gift and just breaking bread, having fellowship and going, man, God, you are up to something profound. And my prayer is that God would give us 30 years to look back on this and go, look what I did. And that's what I'm signed up for.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave this city. I love what God's doing in this region. I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's really pretty cool. I'll just shout an amen to that, Pastor Dave.
Amen.
Yeah,
it's been great. It's got to be exciting for you too, as you've given your life to this region. Mm-hmm. You and your brother as well have been here for a long, long time, as well as my family, and to just see how God is revitalizing an area and how it's not a work of a man or of that. To me, that is the coolest thing about what is happening in the Church of Western New York in particular, is that it's not about a celebrity or a rock star coming in and uniting everything. In fact, those who are probably a little higher profile are continually pushing out. And that's the beauty of it. And that's why I think God is blessing. I really do. I think as the higher profile people in the region push out to others and let them take reins of things, and I think it just, God just says, yes, that's what I'm about. Mm. Yes. And then we see these things start to snowball.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's got to excite you as well, Pastor Dave.
You know, definitely, because in all of these aspects, I'm reminded that, you know, what we're challenged to in Ephesians, that we are to equip the saints so that they do the work of the ministry. That's one of the things that led me to, you know, focus on developing lay counselors. And we see that in so many different arenas. And, you know, so when you have a guy purchase property and say, this is for the kingdom, we're equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Mm-hmm. When we have a young guy that says, okay, I took the counseling classes, what will it look like? That young guy is Greg, by the way, and just an awesome guy.
Yeah.
When God lays on Greg's heart and says, what would that look like? And he starts to mobilize that. That's Christ together. It's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's just everybody focusing on the mission. Mm-hmm. Again, whether it's in the counseling arena or whatever other aspect, and it's all for the purpose that every man, woman, and child will have repeated opportunities to hear and see.
So the takeaways from today are, number one, intimacy with God. Number two, live in community. And number three, find out where God's working and get involved.
Yeah. And that is, at the end of the day, we, you know, that bucket, we want to see mobilized people, disciples making disciples in order to mobilize. It's those three things that are a really big part of the process.
They're a really big part of your personal walk. And we don't do it so that our lives are better. But your life will be better because you'll have the joy of watching God work in your life and watching him impact others through you as he, again, is glorified. I love that I can't believe it took you this long to quote Piper.
Well,
it's been many weeks.
I'm a big fan of Johnny P.
I'm just kidding. He always comes up. But you're right. I've read that book where he talks about the reason missions exist is so that God, because worship does not.
Yeah.
And that's our job. Our job is, our angle is not missions. Our angle is that God would be glorified through people coming to him.
Yeah.
And so if you're out there and you're a prayer warrior, keep praying for Christ together. Keep praying for your region.
Yeah.
And take lessons from this and carry them on. I can't believe we're already out of time, Ryan. But anyway.
Good episode. Thanks for joining us here in the phone booth.
That's right. More to come from that. This is going to be a thing.
I hope so.
Your coffee's pretty good.
It's great coffee. It's fine brew. It's aggressive
fine.
Brew.
It's nice and aggressive. It keeps us going. You're listening to Christ Together Rodeo?
Rodeo.
You know what?
It works that
Actually,
way
Dave's going to ride the mechanical bull here.
We can start a new thing. Wes Arum.
Yes.
Right? From Circle C. He used to ride bulls, I think. So we'll talk about
what
that with him someday.
Do?
But anyway, what did he do is right. Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, co-host Ryan Cozy here, and also for Pastor David Drake. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Tune us in next week. Same bat time, same bat place.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.